Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
You may be seated. I think you can do better now. Stand back up and give the Lord a huge, non-casual, fully intentional hand. Fully intentional. Woo! Have a seat. Just a second. When I talk about give the Lord a hand, I'm talking about fully intentional, all on crazy, glorious ovation. Seriously. I love the Muppets. How in the world did he get to the Muppets from that one? You'd be surprised what Gina has to live with. Go ahead and bring the house lights up, guys, so I can see some faces here. You'd be shocked what she has to live with. But on the Muppets, when the Muppets are playing and they're going at it, their audiences are going crazy. They are just, and that's the Muppets. You know, that's just the Muppets. But when this band, when Pastor Mike and this band leads us into worship, let me tell you something, there ought to be a proactive, a fully thought through, fully intentional, goofy, crazy, whatever, over the top response to the Lord Jesus Christ after we just celebrated Easter.
Amen. Amen.
Seriously, thank you for actually joining us this morning. Those of you who came on back after Easter, you know, you have the Easter attenders and the Christmas attenders. It's church. It's the church in America. I mean, it's the church in America. Can I tell you something, though? There are churches around the world that are desperate just to see other believers every day.
Amen.
Every day. Because they are desperate for the Lord himself. They're still praying this prayer, and they mean this prayer. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. No, I mean, I'm serious. They're praying that prayer, and they mean that prayer. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. There are places, there are countries today that if you don't deny your Christianity and adopt that worldview from that particular country, this is what they do. If you don't do that, we will take one of your family members and you'll pick. If you don't pick one, we'll pick one and we will execute your family member in front of you until you all deny that you're Christians. That's what takes place in places every day around the world. That's what takes place. So for us to live in this land of freedom, I know we're struggling with things, but I want to tell you something. We've got a great God. We're not struggling yet. We're not struggling yet. We need to be praying for those who really are struggling in the name of Jesus, under the covering of the name of Jesus. So I'm just telling you, in the name of Jesus, it is a powerful thing to have the privilege of coming together and comes. This is what the Word says, that he's doing something new in us every morning. I'm serious. I got three of you agreed with me. Okay. I said, he's doing something new in us every morning. And if he's not, I wonder whose fault that is. Is that because he's a liar? Or because I'm not available to the miracle every morning? Which one is it? Which one is it? We just came out of the resurrection day last week and had a great celebration day. I'm thrilled to be able to say I'm hearing from more and more pastors that there are those that are coming back and returning in the Lord and coming in and worshiping with fellow believers. And some are actually doing outdoor services, still things like that. It's just an exciting time in the kingdom. And as I was reading last week's passage going about the tomb, there's just this great statement. And I want to kind of come back to and launch off of that. Gina and I had a great conversation this week about the Book of Mark version of the resurrection day, where, and I want to talk with you about some of the things that we see in that. It's throughout God's Word. And by the way, that whole conversation can even be traced to our world every day. And this is what it is. The title of the one message or the song that Pastor Mike just did was called Waymaker. And so that's today's message. He is the great Waymaker. He is the great way maker. And I just want to just share this with you guys. So I'm not going to have you turn there yet, but in the book of Mark, it goes like this. And Mary and Martha were on their way to the tomb. And they said to themselves, have you ever said things to yourselves? I'm always talking to myself. I talk to myself the moment I get out of bed to the moment I lay back down. And Gina is often saying, are you talking to me or you? So, and they were talking amongst themselves and to themselves and said, hey, we want to, you know, they're going to anoint the body. And can I tell you, their lives were Jesus for a solid X amount of years, 3 years approximately. Their lives were about maybe just a couple years with Mary and Martha, but their lives were Jesus. That's what their life is. And for the Christian, the follower of Christ, it's the whole life. It's not the whole, hey, I'll see you on Sunday life. No, no, no. That for the believer, the follower of Christ, they didn't know how not to do Jesus. Here he's dead, he's buried, and they're still doing the Jesus life. Some of the disciples went back to their homes and they just sat in their homes because they didn't know what to do, even though Jesus lived for 3 years showing them what to do and how to do it and who to do it with and for. But they were frozen. Well, Mary and Martha were not frozen that day. They went about still taking care of Jesus. I mean, that's what their viewpoint was. Have you ever gone and put flowers at a grave? Isn't that going and celebrating that person still, kind of still bringing their memories, not letting their memory fade? Have you ever looked at your loved one's video and you just sit there and you just watched after you lost them to death and you just sit there and you just watched them on a video and your tears are pouring out because you're not wanting to let them go. You're still invoking. Well, this is what kind of what Mary, they were going to the graveyard that day. They were going and doing Jesus that day. And this was one of the statements on the way there. Hey, who's going to roll away the stone? We're just two girls here. Now, I don't know. They may have been some tough girls. Bible doesn't talk about whether they're tough girls or not. I've met some tough girls. I went to Riverview Gardens. I saw girl fights. For those of you who went to Riverview, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's North County. They produced some tough girls. But these two ladies are like, hey, who's going to roll away the stone? Yeah, we hadn't thought of that. We didn't bring anybody with us. Well, the word says, and when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And an angel of the Lord said, who are you looking for? That same Jesus. He is alive. He is risen. Just so the obstacle all of a sudden to their task was the idea that all of a sudden we've got an obstacle to what we want to do here today. How many of you have ever run into obstacles when you felt like the Lord wanted you to do something? You started running into obstacles. Let me just tell you, turn in your Bibles and just hold it there. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. I want to talk with you. We're going to actually study from John chapter 6, which is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So before I get into that, I'm going to tell you something. When we built the first original building at St. Charles River Church, we ran into more obstacles, didn't we, Carrie? We ran into more obstacles. For those of you who were with us back then, you remember some of the obstacles. There were people that didn't want a church, quote unquote, facility in a light industrial parkway. And so they signed petitions not to let the mayor and the council put a church. They were picturing a church with a steeple and a cross on the top. You remember that? You guys were there, Eddie, and you guys were there, right? So it was one of those not so happy moments for us. We're like, they don't want us to be there. You got to be kidding. Well, the mayor called me and he said, yeah, they're protesting your presence there. It was one of those things where well, let's just go talk to them. That wasn't helping any. That wasn't helping any. I could have sent Terry, I could have sent Ed, I could have sent Sherry, I could have sent a lot of you that were here. That wasn't going to help any. We even brought donuts. I remember we brought donuts and coffee because we thought if we go with white flag and just kind of love on our neighbors and no, it didn't. It didn't remove the obstacle. It raised it higher. They really didn't want us in the neighborhood. They didn't want a church there in the neighborhood. And it went on and on. But I will tell you, every time I'd go to a city council meeting with Craig Weston, who at that time, he was a person of faith. But he was sitting there just looking at me going, I've never seen this happen before. I said, well, what's that? He said, that guy has already said he's going to vote against you. That guy has already said he's going to vote against you. And that guy has said he's going to vote against you. And they just voted for you. And he said, I've never seen this before. Every time See, what they couldn't decide was, are they giving us permission to build a church facility or a light industrial facility? Because there's two different sets of ordinances. Well, every time it worked in our favor for them to consider us a light industrial facility, they voted for us. And every time they called for them to vote on us being a church facility, they voted for us. And that went on for weeks and several months until finally one of the councilmen said to the mayor, who is a believer, he said to the mayor in front of everybody, wait a minute, I have to ask a question. He said, are they a church? Are they a light industrial facility? And Craig Weston says, here we go. Here we go. And the mayor looked up and he said, both, and it's fine. You see, the obstacles, every time, so can I tell you, obstacles go all the way back to the garden. You see, man fell. There was an obstacle called sin. And all of a sudden, there was this way maker that stepped in. His love for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Let's jump in here real quick to John chapter 6. I want to take, now you know kind of where I'm going, and I want you to start looking for the obstacles as we start reading through this scripture. John chapter 6. Here we go. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Then sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy? Listen to this. He said, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He only asked it to test them, for he already knew what he had in mind, what he was going to do. And verse 7, Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not pay enough bread, would not buy enough bread for each of these to have a bite. And verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will that go among so many? He's still finding the obstacles. I mean, the obstacles are there's 5,000 plus women and children. The obstacle is there's not any stores around because a couple of the other gospels actually say we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no place to go buy anything. And one of the disciples is saying, go send them away. Well, let me just keep on reading. Another of his disciples, Andrew, said, he spoke up, here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will that go in so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass, and he said, there's plenty of grass in that place, and all the men sat down, about 5,000 of them, and by the way, it was plus women and children. The other gospels verify that. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 barley loaves left over, with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miracle sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is come into the world. Listen, let me tell you. So they're immediately saying, as soon as they see what Jesus is wanting to do, they immediately, don't we do this? Now, wait a minute. If we're going to do it, we don't have enough for... We do that all the time. That's part of our lifestyle, especially in a land of plenty. In the land of plenty. When we started wanting to build that church, every time we made a decision, we had obstacles that we had to overcome. Every time, and just like Mary and Martha, they immediately recognized as they were running towards the tomb, well, we forgot to bring somebody with us to move the stone. And yet, here's the thing, the God that moves stones had already shown up. The God who moves city councilmen and women had already shown up in our meetings. The God who stops the gas man from shutting your gas off because you haven't quite got enough money this month to pay for it. The God who pays, the God who sends a generous person to come and pay your gas bill. The God who rescues you. I was washing my car inside my garage on a sunny day, one of the few. sunny days, and I was washing, I had my back to the street, and I heard a car slam its brakes on, and I mean slam that the brakes on, and I heard a thud, and I heard a kid squeal. It was an 8-year-old child across the street from me, had been hit by the car, and had rolled over his legs, and his arm got wrapped up in the wheel well, and by the time I got over to the little guy, I grabbed him, he was hobbling up the driveway, and by the time I got to him, blood is squirting out of his left foot, down his leg. He had crushed the left ankle had been crushed under the wheel, and I'm holding him. I'm just laying him back down. I said, buddy, just lay down. You're going to be okay. Let me get your leg in the air. Listen, let me tell you something. The God who rescues our children had already shown up. So all of a sudden I hear, I'm a nurse. Hop out of the way. You think, I mean, that's what we pray for, isn't it? That God will provide protection and that God will provide the immediate help. All of a sudden, this nurse is coming in behind me. I've never seen this woman in my life, but she's in our subdivision. She's got a stethoscope wrapped around. She's got her scrubs on. She said, I'm a nurse. Hop out of the way. She took his leg. She started triaging him right there. And I'm sitting there thinking, the God who cares for our children just showed up. Abraham, when God tells, back in Genesis chapter 22, God says, Abraham, and I love Abraham's response, here I am. I'm like, is that, oh my goodness, mine is more like I'll faint. If I hear God speak, Barry, from heaven, I don't know that I have the what inside of me to say, here I am. My response is more like, oh, just go ahead and throw water on me and wake me up after it. If that voice comes from heaven like that. He knows me well enough. How many of you have said, I really just would love to hear the voice of God one time? I have said that, and I think you'd have to wake me up. You'd have to slap me around a little bit and throw some water on me. But Abraham says, here I am. He says, take your son, your one and only son. Take him up to Moriah, into the mountain, and I'll show you the region. You're going to sacrifice him for me. And you know, all of a sudden, Abraham's got this obstacle. He is about to sacrifice his son. And so, but he faithfully goes towards Mount Moriah, and he brings his two servants. He cuts the wood himself. He gets the flame. He gets the knife, heads up there. And old Isaac, he doesn't know what's going on, but he knows all of a sudden Isaac recognizes, hey, pop, we got the fire, we got the wood, where's the sacrifice? And this is all Abraham said, son, God will provide the sacrifice himself. That's how well Abraham knew God. He is the waymaker. He is the waymaker. He is the waymaker. And this, all of a sudden, they get up on the mountain and he ties poor Isaac. You know, he doesn't know what's going on. He's kind of like overwhelmed, I'm sure, at this moment. And Abraham's wrapping him up, and Abraham is dealing with the obstacle. I am about to see my son die. I'm about to kill my son. And all of a sudden, the voice comes from heaven again, Abraham. And he says, here I am. You know, and he said, don't touch the boy. Don't touch the boy. And all of a sudden, this ram appears over in the thicket. And the way maker made a way. God did provide the lamb for the sacrifice. And from that time on, that place was called Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. God provides. God provides. You see, he is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. And I love when Pastor Mike and the team sing that song, Full Transparency. I did call him this week and I said, dude, if we could do that way maker, that would be a powerful song. He is the miracle worker. He is the light in the darkness. He's the one who turns all the negative into everything. Why? Because God already, what did he say? What does God's word say about the feeding of the 5,000, he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew what he was going to do. And yet what we do, we get wrapped up when something happens. I'm telling you, when our engine blew on Gina's Kia, and I was told it was a $5,500 replacement of a motor. I was like, Jesus, Lord God, Lord Jesus, Lord God, Lord Jesus, Lord God. My mechanic called me and he said, I'll buy that car from you for $5,000. Sold! Sold. My way maker. Sold. It worked just fine for me. So I called Gina to verify it because it was her car. So she said, it sold. No problem. Then all of a sudden, we came, God provided this source of income. And it was a beautiful thing. My mechanic calls me back. He said, I'm going to tell you something. This is about 3 weeks later. My mechanic calls me back and he said, Barry, I want to tell you, because we're looking at buying another car now. And how many know that is not a fun project? When that wasn't in your budget, $5,000 wasn't in my budget, let alone buying a new car. How many know you just about go, I'm serious, you get on your knees and you cry holy. You do. You just cry holy. Lord, I didn't need this. Lord, I didn't need this, but I want you to know something. Sometimes we whine compared to that set of parents whose child got hit last week in our subdivision. Sometimes we just whine. But we didn't have the money. It wasn't in our budget. And so my mechanic calls me 3 weeks later. We came, there was this number that came towards us. It was about $5,000 that came, to us. And we were blessed by that, and it was a surprise $5,000. It wasn't a gift, but it was a surprise $5,000. We had expected it, but not then. And all of a sudden, so when the mechanic calls up and he said, hey, I want to tell you something. This car is an amazing car. I never sent the title to the state. So technically, you still own this car? Would you be interested in just taking the car back and giving us $5,000 for the motor? I'm sold. Yes. Yes. I called Gina and she loved me again. All of a sudden she was like, you mean we don't have to buy a new car? Yes. Boy, she loved me a lot after that. She was like, yes. She said, good. Cause I love my car. And if you know our grandkids, you know, they call that Grammy's car. This is like a holy grail here. This Kia Sentra, or what is Sorento? Thank you. Kia Sorento. It's like a holy automobile here. It's the chariot of Grammy. And our grandkids love that car. And they were really upset that Grammy let go of that car. All of a sudden, it's back in our hands. God provided the funds and we never lost the title, not once. It was a beautiful thing. God is the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh in every circumstance. But I'm going to tell you what our habit still. Our habit is we focus on who we don't have or what we don't have. We focus on the obstacle, whatever the obstacle is. We focus on the obstacle. Have you ever noticed that the closer a small, tiny obstacle gets to our eyes, the bigger it gets and the less you see around it? Because we get so close and we focus so closely on the obstacle. Sometimes, by the way, the obstacle is our own bad self. Somebody went, It is sometimes the obstacle. Do you know, I have seen people blow up a room faster than anybody could. Some of the most gifted people I've ever seen blow up a room, go to church. Now that's brought silence. That brought absolute dead silence. I mean, some of the worst things I've ever seen or heard were actually said in church. Or by church people to church people. Sometimes we are our own worst obstacle. We don't even know that, by the way. Sometimes our wives been trying to tell us that for the last 30 years. Why do you do that? Why do you say that to people? Why do you behave that way? I watched this amazing godly woman tell her husband for 40 years plus how obnoxious he is with people. And I mean, he would blow up a room. He would blow up relationships. He would hurt feelings. He was his own worst obstacle. And on one day, and I'm not joking when I say this, on one day, this man gave his heart completely over to Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, I had people coming to me in church saying, what's the deal with him? I said, I think it's Jesus. I'm pretty sure it's Jesus. The real Jesus. I'm pretty sure it's the real Jesus got a hold of him. No, seriously. He's nice. It's not normal. That's what they said. It's not normal. He's not being normal. I know. Do you know that guy led one of the largest small groups this church has ever seen? Because of that. Because he finally stopped being his own worst obstacle. And he decided to surrender and actually have a servant's heart. People wanted to be around him. All of a sudden, people wanted to be around him. People wanted to join his small group. People wanted to be around what some people called it, especially the less mature believers. They'd say, that positive energy that's coming off of him now, I want to be around that. Whatever he got, you know, it's positive. It was positive. It's just Jesus. It's less of me. Everybody say, less of me, more of Jesus. It's really about being less focused on me and being more focused on him. Less focused on the obstacle. Can you imagine? I mean, the storm, when the disciples got in the boat with Jesus and the storm hits. All of a sudden, Jesus is in the bow of the boat sleeping. Ah! We're in the middle of a storm. We're going to die. The obstacle, instead of the master, was the attention. The obstacle of the storm. The fear of, how many of you have known, for about a year and a half, the world has been held captivity with fear. We didn't know who was telling we didn't know who knew what they were talking about. We didn't know who was lying. We didn't know who was lying, you know, lying's an intentional thing. We didn't know who knew what they were talking about. They were seeing completely opposite things depending on the network or cable thing that you were watching. We didn't know. And the whole world was held at bay with fear. And by the way, many still are being held with fear. Hey, listen, I serve. I'm not being a case of rah, rah about this thing. I just serve the way maker. I serve a way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. He is the bright and shining star. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is the lily of the valley. He's everything that he said he is and then some. Ephesians 3:19-20 says he is more, he gives us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He is the waymaker. He is Jehovah Jireh. And yet we get so wrapped up with obstacles. Because let me tell you something. There's not a thing worth accomplishing that Satan won't try to destroy with obstacles. That's his job. Get the picture. His job description is to bring obstacles to you. Well, I guess that's not God's will for me, because if I have to do that, I'll have to. Do you know, seriously, if the Bowies looked at obstacles in the way of their businesses, they would not be in business today. And he would still be in the finance world. Because I promise you, when a believer's family starts to do things in the name of Jesus and operate by the Spirit of God, and it takes faith to actually take risk. By the way, if you're going to start a business, does it take risk or what? I'm serious. People who have never taken risk are so critical of people who have taken a risk and succeeded. I got three of you. I said people are critical who have never taken a risk in their life. They're critical of the people who took great risk, put it all on the line, and go and succeed. How dare you, Bowies, succeed? How dare you succeed in whatever it is that God has sent you out on? Because you see, you should have been wrapped up with fear. You know that. You should have been wrapped up with fear. So many obstacles, so many things that you had to overcome. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you, I know them well enough to know they kept watching the waymaker. They kept watching the miracle worker. They kept watching the one move. He goes before us and he literally makes our path straight. That's what the Bible says. He goes before us and he makes our path straight. So what that picture is, he clears the junk out of the way. He clears the obstacles out of the way. And by the way, that's the critics too. That's the people who, you know the story of this church, the pastors in the region that didn't want St. Charles River Church to exist. I had to have meetings with pastors who didn't want this church to exist. And that's when the Lord told me, if you'll shut your mouth, I'll close the mouth of the accusers. You remember that? I've told you that story. He is the way maker. I'm sitting there going, Lord, this is what I'm going to tell them when I get there. This is what I'm going to say when I get there. And then I'm going to say this and this and this. And then I might even throw some scripture there. I had a real scriptural basis for my argument. How many know that word is still argue? Have an argumentative spirit, because I'm going to argue that my way is the right way. And this is what the Spirit of God said. Pull the car over and shut your mouth. That's That's what he did on Highway 63 between Columbia, Missouri and Moberly. Pull the car over and shut your mouth. You're either going to trust that I'm going to make this happen or it's not going to happen. And if you will close your mouth, I will close the mouth of the accusers. And when I got, I just wept. Man, I was on sitting on the highway of Highway 63. I just sat there and cried. I said, Lord, you are, of course, you're right. I am, I won't tell you what I said. But anyway, I am that and then some. Lord, I am sorry. I really, forgive me for not trusting you. You will make this happen. I got there and no one said a word because they weren't allowed to. Because the district superintendent said, this meeting is over. This man started a church in the name of Jesus. We prayed that he would. We appointed a church there in that region 7 years ago, whatever it was. And we approved this church. We prayed that God would raise up a pastor. And Barry and Gina Ivy stepped into that role. They are the pastors of St. Charles River Church. Let's go on to the next subject. They said, Barry, you can go home. I got up, I started to walk out, and I had 4 or 5 accusers right outside the door. They said, hey, where's he going? We got to talk. Oh, no, we're done. No one's going to talk. That subject's closed. He said he would close the mouth of the accusers if I would shut my mouth. All he wanted me to do was change my attitude and start trusting him. It had nothing to do with what I was going to say to them or even what God was going to say to them. It had to do with me. And let me wrap this up with this thought. Do you know the greatest way that he will make is not necessarily the way that he makes for you, but the greatest way that God himself will make as the provider, the greatest way he will make is the way that he makes in you. Because he will make a way inside of your spirit to have compassion for people when you never had compassion before. He will make a way inside of you to do things and to feel things and to sense things, to sense the moving of the Holy Spirit, Chaplain Earl, like never before. He'll make a way in us that we can sense when he's telling us something so clearly. He'll make a way in us that's much greater than the way he could make for us. Because oftentimes when he makes the way in our spirit and in our heart, the things around us start to fall away because others see the favor of God's hand on our lives. And they just get out of the way. Those obstacles begin to move. Just like the stone, it was gone before Mary and Martha got there. The storm was, the storm calmer, the way maker was in the boat. The set of, the larynx, the voice box that was going to, the one with authority that was going to stand up and actually calm the storm. By the way, he created the winds and the waves. The one who created the winds and the waves is in the boat asleep and he stands up and he's like, you guys, why are you panicked? Why are you panicked? Peace. Be still. By the way, they could have done that. You catch that? He gave them the authority to do that. He gave them authority to heal the sick and to forgive sin. He gave them authority. He gave them the power and authority to go after demonic forces. He gave them that same authority, and they didn't trust that they had it. Wake him up! Wake him up now! We're going to die! Because no one, can I tell you, how many times have you ever walked into a hospital and you knew, I want to go in and pray for them, but you know, I'd like to command them to get out of that bed right now and just get out of that bed in the name of Jesus, but I don't want to be embarrassed if he doesn't. Okay, now be real with me. You ever done that? Okay. That's where the disciples were that day. These guys are in the boat going, they're kind of thinking, I'd love to be the guy that walks to the front of this boat and says, peace, be still. Now, I know I'm being a little extra biblical right here, but I'm a human being. Let's face it. We have issues. I don't know that all of them felt that way, but I can tell you there's a chance that at least one of them in that boat really was tempted at some level to take authority over the wind and the waves and calm the storm, but they didn't because we know for sure he can. We know this. We can wake him up and he can do it. And if he can't, we're all dead. I mean, but they had the authority. They were so wrapped up with the obstacle, they forgot that the answer is not just Jesus in the boat. The answer is they have the authority too. In the name of Jesus. What's the worst thing that can happen? They already had people not getting healed when they prayed for them. Remember? They were already going to Jesus saying, Lord, why aren't they being healed? And he would say, hey, you know, you, people of lack of faith here, it's weak faith. This stuff comes about through prayer and fasting here. You know, these are spiritual battles that are going on. Hey, what's the worst that can happen? The storm just didn't calm and we still wake him up. But no, we get wrapped up with our obstacles and we get locked into fear because of those obstacles, and we might be embarrassed that they don't get out of the bed. Can I just tell you something? If I'm that sick, take the chance. Risk the pride. If I'm that sick, I would appreciate anyone. Take the chance. Eliminate the obstacle of embarrassment. And take the chance, lay hands on me, and pray for me in the name of Jesus. We can take authority over these obstacles. We should be taking authority over the obstacles, and we should be recognizing that we are in the Mount Moriah, where the Lord is the great provider in the name of Jesus. Close your eyes with me, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, show us today how to set obstacles aside. And Lord, if I'm the greatest obstacle in my life, teach me to set me aside, Lord, and to rather to focus more on you and less on the obstacle. Really, Father, to take authority over those obstacles in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, that you would so set our spirit free to run after the miracle maker, the miracle worker, the God who makes the way. And Lord, don't just make the way for me. Make the way in me. In the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Pastor Mike, give the Lord a huge hand, guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.